Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson today is going to be the second on the study of Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she was certainly one of the most admired and respected women of all the pages of the Bible, and rightly so. There's justification to look upon her with admiration. Now, we looked last in our last lesson about Mary living in Nazareth, being a rather obscure individual who lived in a rather obscure little village, a Jewess of the descendancy or descendant of David, and this indeed the subject of this miracle of a virgin bearing a child. Now, Jesus had been prophesied by Isaiah that he would be born of a virgin, and Matthew tells us that the birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given by Isaiah. We also took note that after a while, Mary visited Elizabeth, and how she was admired by both Elizabeth and, of course, when she spoke the child John in the womb of Elizabeth leaped. And, dear friend, this shows that the presence of Mary was something very special, and she was praiseworthy. But now the prophets had foretold that the Savior would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was the place, of course, where the Savior was born. It so happened that a taxation was imposed by the Roman government, somewhat of a census-like thing, and this caused Mary and Joseph to have to go to the land of their ancestry to pay their tax. Now, that was the land of Judea. That was in the south. This was where their ancestry had been. Now, you know this journey from Galilee to Judea, I think it encompasses something like 70 miles, if I recall correctly. That must have been very difficult travel at this particular time, well, at any time, but particularly difficult for this woman, Mary, being great with child, and she was soon to give birth. And she did give birth to Jesus there in the city of Bethlehem, just like the prophets had foretold. And Jesus was born in a stable, and the reason was there was no room in the inn for them. And this, I think, can be attributed to the fact that there were millions of Jews that had crowded into Jerusalem for the feast days. But she wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes and soon was visited by the shepherds who came to worship the child. The shepherds in their fields had been told by the angels that the child had been born, and they came to worship him. Now, it was from Bethlehem that she and Joseph and Jesus had to flee from Herod, and they fled to the country of Egypt. Now, this was the Word that had become flesh, and deity had taken the fashion as a man, and as a child, Jesus was sought to be destroyed by Herod. Herod did not want another king of any nature, and Herod sought to destroy the child. And being warned by an angel, Joseph took the child and his mother to Egypt, and there they remained until the time it was safe for them to return back to the land of Palestine. Jesus as a child was subject to Mary and Joseph, and he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. And leaving Egypt after the death of Herod, and Archelaus, his son, was now king over the area, this family returned to make their home in Nazareth. They did not go back to Jerusalem. They didn't go back to Bethlehem. That would have still been a danger for the child, but they returned to their home in Nazareth in Galilee. Now, after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they had other children. Some they say that she was a perpetual virgin, that she never had any other children. But that's a false idea. These children, we have some of their names. We have the occasion when once Mary and her other children came to see Jesus, and they were named at that particular time in Matthew 12 and in Mark chapter 3. It's a false doctrine to say that Mary was a perpetual virgin. She gave birth to Christ, but then she and Joseph began to live as a normal husband and wife. The time that Mary and her other children came to visit Jesus, Jesus used that occasion to teach how a spiritual kingdom with him, kinship with him, was far more important than a fleshly kinship. But he did not deny that there were his fleshly half-brothers and sisters, and the people of Nazareth knew this as well. Now, when Jesus was 12 years of age, the family went to Jerusalem. They went to worship. But when time came for them to return home, Jesus became separated from his earthly parents, and they thought that he must have been with some of the other travelers, and maybe with some of the other kin. They thought Jesus was near them. A lot of people today who think that Jesus is near them, and he's not. But after spending 3 days searching for him, they found him in the temple, and to their amazement, he was there discussing matters with the doctors that were there in the temple. When they inquired Jesus about all of this and why he had not been with them, he said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Friend, from this we realize that Jesus, as a young lad, realized his divine mission and that he was sent by the Father of heaven, and he was already attending to that work at the age of 12. Well, Mary didn't fully understand all about this, such as the visit by the shepherds and later on the visit by some of the wise men. But the scripture says this, and this is typical, I think, of most any mother. She kept all these things in her heart. They were near and dear to him, to her, even though she did not fully understand it. Now, we read about Mary at the wedding feast at Cana. And this was the time when Jesus and Mary were attending a wedding feast and the supply of wine was depleted. You can read about this in John, the second chapter. And she told Jesus that the wine was gone, and that was the occasion that Jesus made wine from water. Now let me insert here, parenthetically, leaving the subject of Mary for a moment, to suggest that Jesus made an intoxicating drink is absolutely absurd and contrary to everything the Lord taught and did. The evidence is so abundant that that was not the case. The prophets had condemned placing strong drink before your neighbor. Jesus would not violate the will of the prophets because the prophets spoke from God. It is not necessary to suggest that every time the Bible speaks of wine that it is an intoxicating beverage anyway. And people try to use this to justify their social drinking. You can't justify the consumption of the alcoholic beverage because it is poison to your body and it is forbidden by the Lord. But nonetheless, Mary suggested that turn to Jesus, he would solve the situation where they needed more wine. It seems that Jesus at first was reluctant to perform this miracle, but he relented, and what he produced was better than what had been served previously. And doubtless Mary took note of all of that. And while all of the apostles except John fled at the seizure of Jesus Christ by his enemies, Mary and others were with him to the end. She stood by the cross, and surely with a heavy and a grieving heart at the suffering of her son, who had come to help the very ones who were persecuting him. She had to hear the taunts and the insults that were hurled at him. That must have been the most excruciating moment of her life. But Jesus remembered his mother and commissioned John to care for her in his absence. His respect for Mary is a lesson for all regarding the honor we are to give to our parents. That which Simeon had foretold her, however, in the temple, that her soul would be pierced, this had come true at the gruesome reality of Christ on the cross. But later we find Mary among the women who came to his tomb on the first day of the week, found his body gone. She was one of the 120 who had assembled together after his resurrection, of which we read in Acts chapter 1. She was then a witness of the risen Lord. And after his resurrection, we don't read any more of this great and noble woman whose life was given into the service of God. It is so unjust that men have invented doctrines regarding Mary that defame her and her son. The doctrine that she should be worshipped would be abhorrent to her. The doctrine that is called the Immaculate Conception was a necessary invention of men growing out of another false doctrine, and that is the belief that we inherit the guilt of our sins of our ancestors, all the way back from Adam. That posed a problem regarding Mary. She was not a child. She was a child of human beings. Was she guilty of their sins? Well, to get around that, of course, she would be passing her sins on to the Christ. But to escape her guilt, they came up with this exception for Mary, and they called it the Immaculate Conception. What folly men have invented, and is a desecration. That was the doctrine of her perpetual virginity that we have mentioned earlier. That's contrary to the revelation of other children of Mary, even with their names. And one of the more blasphemous doctrines invented by regarding her, and how she is supposed to be a co-mediator with Christ. It is even affirmed by some that one can get the attention of the Holy Father and response from God quicker and more easily by praying through Mary rather than through Jesus. Friend, that's absolutely absurd. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're never taught to pray through Mary. We're never taught to pray through or by anyone else's authority than Christ. And another false doctrine is that Mary did not see corruption at her death, but her fleshly body was carried into heaven. Well, of course, nobody knew this until 1950, and this violates the teaching that flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. On and on it goes with those whose religion is to make Mary a goddess rather than Christ. It's called Mariolatry. It's to make Mary an idol. That's a desecration of this good woman. But this good woman, Mary, is noted for her humility, her submissive obedience, her worship of God, known for her faith and her endurance and her patience and her courage. And she was indeed a gigantic contributor to the completion of God's plan for the saving of man by giving birth to Jesus when deity became flesh. And so we can understand why she is so admired. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.